are listening to the Fundamentalist Podcast.
Until the light takes us, am I right, Bog?
Hello, one and all, and welcome into the Fundamentalist Podcast. I'm your host, Dual Guest, joined by Richard Donahue. This episode of the podcast has us featuring new reviews from Holder, Eason, and Job for a Cowboy. We'll also be telling you what we've been listening to and addressing the biggest news in the world of heavy metal, which is the return of Slayer. All this and more on the Fundamentalist Podcast. Thank you so much for joining in. Let's go ahead and start with the big news item of the last few weeks. And that was the very surprising, totally unexpected return of Slayer to the world of touring. Now, all of you may remember just a few years ago when Slayer was also the biggest news in heavy metal because they were on their quote unquote farewell tour. There will be no more. Yeah. Where they implied, no, outright told us, there will be no more. See us now.
This is it. We're done.
And then coming down with a bit of the Gene Simmons, I suppose, pulling a real Kiss. Right after, no less, Kerry King has announced the lineup of his new band and their first, you know, festival dates, like the big grand unveiling of that, which actually has some pretty cool members, including Marco Segeda of Death Angel.
Phil Devil, X-Violence.
Yes. Slayer announces the fact that, oh yeah, by the way, we're back now too. The announcement was kind of funny. At first, it came out with just a festival date or two. It was like Riot Fest and one other one in the United States.
Yeah, and I had a third one now. So it's three now so far.
And then it was revealed that it's actually an entire tour that this is going to be. So welcome back, Slayer, I guess. Not everyone was happy. Some people were actually very upset that the band has taken the route of Kiss. Like, oh yeah, that farewell tour, we fucking lied. Buy your tickets. Buy your tickets now.
Richard,
how does the return of Slayer strike you? Or are you rather indifferent?
I'm kind of indifferent, honestly. I never see it with Jeff. I never see it at all. And I just try to listen to the records, to be honest with you. Maybe some live decent back in the day. I have really no one. Same with Pantera. No real interest. So if you like, you want to do it, more power to you. I'm just going to stay on the sidelines and y'all have fun. That's my thoughts on the matter, really.
As someone who was fortunate enough to have seen the original Slayer lineup, it was the superior version. However, I've seen him twice with the not legacy lineup, which includes Paul Bostaph and Gary Holt. And it is a
great players.
Yeah.
It great is, players. Like not shitting on them. Oh, Boston played one of his Slayer records, Divine Intervention. Fuck you. Whatever you're going to fucking say after that. And
I don't even Gary say Holt anything. You said everything that needed to be said right then and there, everyone.
The last great Slayer record. I'm dying on that hill.
Right. The our audience groaned and flushed the toilet with that opinion as soon as you said Divine Intervention. Anyway, they're actually a pretty solid lineup. I mean, obviously it's not the original thing, but it's worth seeing. If it does come near you, I would recommend doing it. I think the thing that upsets people the most is like Slayer was supposed to have integrity. They would never go back on their word of it being the final
Slayer's
tour.
Slayer's a business, dude. Metallica's a business. Kids, that's these big bands. They're a business. They're not necessarily picking these opening bands shit for them. It's an industry where their bands are, hey, these bands are really hot now. They're on these labels. Pick one of these. These would be your open. It's a whole machine. It's not just, you know, four or five guys go against rail, against the system, you know, death metal, whatever, like metal to the grave. Fuck everybody. Like, these guys are old. They have mortgages. They have fucking kids and shit. They have like literally hundreds of people that work underneath them that also depend on them as well.
And in the case of Tom Araya, a wife named Sandra, who apparently was the big ringleader on this, pushing this to happen. Maybe she needed some new extension on the kitchen or on the house. And it's just like, we ain't getting that. This can't happen without that Slayer money. So get your ass out there and headbang.
Just neg them for a year. He can't headbang his neck thing. So he'll just stand there. It's just negative for a year.
I don't care if you're fucking paralyzed after this. This extension ain't going to build itself, you bitch.
I need this extension, Tom. Get the fuck out there now.
And get the fuck out there, they will. Slayer, coming to a city near you, maybe. Do you care? Let us know by sending us a message at thefundamentalistpodcast@gmail.com or by hitting us up at our Instagram at thefundamentalistpodcast or on Facebook at the exact same address. We would love to hear from you. Now, let's go ahead and talk about what we've been listening to. Richard, what's been spinning for you?
I've had a few listens. One, the new Dark Side record came out. It's called Perpetual Terminal. And their last one, Devil's Prophets and Migrant Floor, was probably one of the heaviest records of years. It was the last comeback record. And this new one kind of goes back to a few of the more metalcore tropes. That's kind of uneven, but like from like track five on, I really enjoyed it. There's even some songs I just like clean singing on it, which not sure how good it would go live, but on record is pretty cool. So if you're a fan of the past records, I'd recommend it. Also, another big album that I was looking forward to like 2 years now was a new Virkalak album called Veneration. Great kind of black death Irish metal band. I would say this new record kind of reminds me of Tribulation, Children of the Night, a little heavier edge to it. And some lyrics can be a little redundant, though. We'll give it that in terms of a little choppy, but the production is phenomenal. Like the bass sounds great. Like it is five one of my favorite productions I've heard all year. So I'll give it that. But definitely it more spins. But that I enjoyed a lot. And finally really been digging into a lot of To Deceased. Like really listened to their records. I ordered their Supernatural Addiction record from 2000. It's a fucking goddamn like one of the best records I've heard in fucking years. The opening song, The Premonition, and the last song, Ellie's Dementia, are fucking phenomenal. The other songs are great in between, but just those two songs in particular, like even if you're a shit record, have like a great opener and a great fucking closure. It will like make up for the shit in between. But fantastic record. Fearless Undead Machines, their 97 record, fucking great as well. The Silent Creature, title track, Destiny, which is the final song. It's essentially a concept record on zombies, that's man going through and slow and saying the badness, realizing he's doomed. And it's really beautiful at the end. You know, it's like thrash and heavy metal, but it's this really somber, like melancholic note. It's really fucking cool. And the follow-up Supernatural Addiction, As the Year Travel Laws, still very good, not quite as good as Supernatural Addiction, but like two or three notches below. Still solid shit. I can't recommend enough. And My Dying Bride, I'll say, well, quite a lot of them because I'm seeing them in May. It's like nearly two months away. It blows my fucking mind. So really stoked for that shit. What are you seeing? What are you listening to, Duel?
So Traveler just came out with a new record called Prequel to Madness, and I don't want to get too deep into it here because we are going to review it here on the podcast, but it is another fantastic slab of neo-classic heavy metal. Guitar tone is a little bit different from the first record. It's a big, some people might be a little divided on it compared to like how much it worships the old sound. I mean, I guess it still does, but it doesn't have that same, I guess, pastiche feel, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it actually, it's a little bit better. It helps them stand out a little bit more on their own as opposed to just being an outright worship band. Again, I don't want to get too deep into it, but it's fantastic. Also, I'm going to be seeing Meshuga coming up here really soon. And so I was going back and listening to some old stuff, particularly their record Coloss. The track
I'm underrated awesome. Album, fucking yeah. Great, dude.
Yeah, really. Outside of Bleed, I think Colossus might be the better record to Obzen, but I suppose that is an apples and oranges take. They are very different, yeah. I think, stylistically. At least as different as a gent band, two gent albums from the same band can be, anyway. Also, I was listening to a little bit of Testament. I was hanging out with a friend of mine yesterday, and Anthrax and Testament are about to come touring through here. And I made the assertion that Testament should be the one actually headlining that concert bill. And I put on Brotherhood of the Snake for...
Great record. Way underrated for the moderates. I fucking love it, dude. Don't talk to the record enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you put up Testament's discography, it's as good, if not better. It honestly, hot take, it is better than any other thrash band just because of the longevity. Maybe you could say that like, you know, the top four records of like Slayer, Metallica, and Megadeth are like more iconic. Okay, yeah, I'll give you that. But then all those bands pretty much after 90 haven't really put on anything like super awesome, with the exception of Megadeth, who has had some really good records since then.
Go fuck yourself.
Testament's last four records, including the stuff they were doing in the 90s, but ever since Termination of Damnation in 2008.
Yeah, Gathering's great. Lowe's great.
Brotherhood of the Snake. Right. Titans of Creation. Just banger after banger after banger. The band doesn't fucking miss. Chuck Billy still sounds amazing. Alex Skolnick fucking rules. And Brotherhood of the Snake is just a modern thrash classic. It is. I mean, listen to The Pale King, like the second track on there, and tell me one, that this isn't some of the catchiest shit you've ever heard in your life, and two, that it's fucking heavy as shit. It's fantastic. Testament, Brotherhood of the Snake, really anything from Testament in the modern era is 1,000% worth listening to. And then I also can't get it out of my head. We reviewed it on the last episode, and I'm still listening to it, and that is Satan's Soldier of Fortune from Departure Sandalier. Truly a modern classic of the black metal genre. It won't be.
Say it over that. The Nuclear War 9 is going to order a copy of that shit.
Absolutely, you should.
Yeah, great shit. Best black metal record of the year.
Fuck it, yeah. Very well may be. It's a shoe-in for top 10 if overall albums is here, and it's like already cemented itself in Blackest of the Black. It's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Spoiler alert. That's what I've been listening to. Meshuggah, Traveler, Testament, and Departure Chandelier. Also, big shout out to Celebration of Guilt from Arsis. I was also showing my buddy some Arsis yesterday. And man, going back and listening to a lot of those classic tracks, Holy Night, Wholly, Maddening Disdain,
yeah.
Seven Whispers Fell Silent, The Face of My Innocence, the old version. Not that the re-recorded version isn't cool, but the older version is better with the three guitars. Man, Arsis really captured lightning in a bottle for those first couple records, and I miss it.
I mean, actually, yeah, they've been pretty inactive the past couple of years. They had that tour like 5 years ago. You and Pete saw at the House of Blues with the
lineup. They put out Unwelcome and then a Visitant. I think Visitant was their most recent record, which was really good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I will say James Folks were a little. He tried some new things. I'm not sure they necessarily worked, but the guitar, the music was still great. His vocals, some songs like. But musically, though, it kicked ass, like every Arsis record.
So, yeah, I mean, it was a great record. It was called Visitant. It came out in 2018, so here we are six years later.
Holy shit, I feel old.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the band is even active anymore. I mean, considering, like, Brandon Ellis has obviously been in Black Dahlia Murder forever now, and I haven't heard anything coming out of the Arsis camp. I haven't seen any tours.
Yeah, well, it's fast James. I mean, he is Arsis, like. Mikhail is Opeth. Peter was Typo. Like, he's like the guy. He can get guys to do his shit. Dave is Megadeth.
So, that's true.
We'll see.
It's been 6 years. So, I mean, we've been seeing and ain't nothing happening. So it would be cool if something would, though. However, let's go ahead and move on since we do need to get into three reviews. Yeah. Let's go ahead and start off with Eson, the new Eson record, the self-titled. Those of you who don't know, and why wouldn't you know, but if you don't, Eson, obviously formerly of Emperor, has been making quite a name for himself in the metal world since he's struck out on his own going solo. The same orchestral flares that he was famous for in Emperor are still very much at the forefront of this new style that he has been peddling here the last few albums. The black metal shows itself in spurts. It's very sporadic.
Yeah.
Some songs very much more black metal influenced, while others seem, I don't know, straight out of a Disney movie soundtrack, for better or worse. 1,000%. And that comes also, I think, from just how clean the production aesthetic is. The man's a master, musically. And so obviously he's going to want his stuff to sound great, squeaky fucking clean. And for some, especially those coming from the black metal fandom, those who, like, you know, discovered Eson through stuff like Emperor, like you listen to like Wrath of the Tyrants or In the Nightside Eclipse or even Anthems of the Vulcan at Dusk. And now you come to this new record and you're like, man,
Kleenex guitar tones. But again, when you have orchestral, all this shit, it has to be really good. I don't want to see our down, dirty, raw power metal band with like, 80s doom, like Black Death productions, solid like dog shit with all the melodies. Shit. It has to be that way. So,
yeah. Richard, tell me your thoughts here on Eson's self-titled new release.
So, in the press, heard quite a bit about this. And as I've stated before, I'm a really big fan of this first two, the Adversary from 06 and Angle from 08, which, in my opinion, the best I've heard, at least. And After was really cool as well. But after Aramita in 2012 kind of fell off the bandwagon.
And Amir was still pretty cool.
I'm not shitting on this. I've never listened to it. Like, just got into other stuff. So like this, I might go back and check them out, or probably will. But this new one, I kind of heard this, like, this is a return to form, and I was like, in the orchestral sense of like Emperor and shit, but and the black buzz exists shows up spurts, but it's still very much mostly a progressive record. But also at the same time, even though it did reach this kind of types just came out, it was barely expected. Because I heard some of the ones in between were kind of very much transitional records or avant-garde. So this was quite good, though. Quite good. I did enjoy it.
Yeah, so adding on to how I think the production aesthetic is super, super clean, which may or may not strike your fancy, I also think that a little bit like a movie trailer that showed too much, the lead singles from this record are the highlights, which is Pilgrimage to Oblivion, Twice Born, and The Distance Between Us. So it is a little disappointing to not like super connect with another track on here that wasn't already revealed, that you haven't already heard a few times. So that's slightly anticlimactic. Not to say that there aren't other good songs on here, because there are, like the Promethean Spark I would like to shout out, as well as Hubris and Blue Devils, which is also, I think, the longest, one of the longer tracks on here. Hubris and Blue Devils is a little under 8 minutes. And Heart of All Broken Things is like nine minutes. Yeah.
Actually, I didn't even know the list of singles, but I really like The Taste of Ambrosia, actually. Mm-hmm. I feel like once you got to a track like Twice Four, because I thought the first two songs is an intro, obviously, a service for Nature. I thought the first tracks were real songs were good. They're a bit middling, though. But once Twice Four and Get It, I actually really got on the record. Like Taste of Ambrosia, I liked a lot. Blood Trails to Love, Hubris of Blue Devils, I like quite a bit, though. It's a bit meandering, honestly, like the Heart of All Things. It's a long ass title, Jesus Christ. But it might be it. They middle at times, but then again, when you listen to Funeral Doom, you kind of get used to it. But if you're used to like intense black metal, like it might bore you. But
it's meandering. Meandering is a good way of putting it. Even though like Isan's been so far removed from this like super intense black metal, as you mentioned, I wasn't even expecting it. I don't think anybody really expects it. However, just because you're not expecting super intensity all the time doesn't mean that the album takes its time getting to where it's going. And it doesn't always, certain parts are a lot better at holding your attention than others.
Yes.
And really, it's 11 tracks, 50 minutes. So it's not overly long. And so the fact at least for me, I was, I would say visibly, but visibly kind of bored or checking out of some songs that.
The longer tracks, definitely.
I kind of wish that, I don't know, there was more fist pumpingness to this. Like, you know, like, yes, it's super pretty. Yes, it's like, you know, Isan showing off his qualities as an artiste. But this is supposed to be a heavy metal record, and I do kind of want something that makes me bob my head. And those parts are a little few and far between for my liking. It's beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful, though.
No, like, I mean, you brought the Disney reference. About, there's certain parts that do remind me of, like jazz music and, like actually, a film soundtrack part that do come off like that. It's really cool, but, like, I get you're trying to be this, really, you know, seriously taken artist. You put up these, like, banger straight masterpieces in the 90s. You don't rest on your laurels, but I don't know, it'd be nice to kind of go a bit back direct to his first two solo records. The first was actually very smart with King Diamond. It's very minimal production. And Goal was more orchestral. You had the track Unhealer with Mikhail from Opeth. It might be his best growling performance. And them treading off Scream, the show is phenomenal. And I know it'd be nice to not do a complete retread of that, but just kind of, I don't know, just aggression. Like that's just, I don't know, sort of like a nasty black metal project. Like, you satisfy the avant-garde proggy fans out there. Like, give those old-school guys. Like, it's a fucking meat to bite on, dude. Something that's just fuck up, man.
There's meat here. It's just one track where you can be like, this is the banger track.
It's sprinkled throughout certain songs and shit. Like, there's, like, longer songs. There's some parts that are not even necessarily heavy, but they're really good. Some parts are, then he hooked me again. Kind of honestly reminds me, like, to be the bear to me. Very talented band. And all that shit, they're the fans are obnoxious, pretentious cunts. I fucking hate their fans. But like, I guess part of the song, it's more, oh, cool. Like, it's got me in or middle in certain parts, though. I'm not good, though. He's also another level to be the battery. I'm not comparing them on that level. I'm just specifying that.
The turtleneck crowd who push up on their glasses will be very pleased with this record. The hardcore black metal fans, former Isan stands, maybe a little bit less so. I'm a little bit in the middle. I think there's a lot to like here. And It kind of sounds like I'm downing on this record.
It takes multiple listens. This is not like a one listen and okay, no, this is going to take a couple.
Definitely. There's a lot to ruminate on here. And some songs will reveal itself to you a little bit more as you listen. However, I don't really, right now, I don't see myself going back and picking this one to listen to all that often.
Go back to the first two easily.
From his discography.
After as well, I'll say the first three. Even, honestly, listen to this one. I kind of shit on Aramita. I'm like, oh, it's kind of weak, but kind of like, hey, let me have Aramita kind of spin. It's been a couple of years. Maybe there's more there than, you know, I gave initially a credit at the time when it came out.
I think at the end of the day, for me, it might just be a tad too clean and a bit too caught up between the two worlds in which it exists. Like I said, the turtleneck artiste in Isan and then his inner metalhead. Kind of wish the pendulum was just a little bit more in that metal direction. I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5.
I'm going to give it a 3. I'm going to say 2. I didn't enjoy it a lot. There is some stuff to get here, but I don't know. It'd be nice for him to, in the words of AC/DC, give a dog a bone. Like, come on, give me something to work with here.
Isan's self-titled album gets a 6.7. Let's move on to Holder, their new release, Verses in Oath. Now, I was very, very excited for this record to come out. I was talking in the Slack thread with Bog and Richard that I felt like this was going to be the record that really put Holder on the heavy metal map. Their star has been rising oh so steadily over the last few years. Their EP, The Eternal Fanfare from 2022, I was a big fan of. And then God's Last String from 2021 also made waves in not only the black metal scene, but the heavy metal scene in general. It's almost like a one-woman black metal scene, given the political climate of the day, was always going to have the fanboys speaking, for better or for worse.
Sims? What?
Yeah. And now she is back with Verses and Oath. 10 songs, 40 minutes long, gets in, gets out, infinitely re-listenable. But that's just because of the quality of black metal on offer here. Tracks like Hearken the End, which was one of the singles, you wouldn't even know it's 7 minutes long.
It flows phenomenally.
Yeah, fantastic mix of like deicide death metal, a little bit of 1990s Emperor vibes going on in there, as well as a little bit of just Holder itself. And also, I would be remiss if I did not mention that there is also some Darkened Nocturne Slaughter Cult vibes going on here.
Johnny, check that band out, man. I'm a fucking short list of like bands to check out, man.
Saldorian Spell. That's the one. Break it.
One thing I want to comment on this record is like, he kind of said everything I want to say. Like, there's a death metal vibe, so he's a super death metal fan. There's a lot of meat here. And you know, it has the traditional black metal. So you have like, this could come out in the 90s. Like, this could come out like 95, 96 in the Torchlight era. If I didn't know this band, I wouldn't be surprised at all. But the keyboards are very fucking subtle, but they're all throughout. They just kind of keep things going. Of course, the more like heavier death metal songs are downplayed, but they're always just in the background. So you just know that's this nice atmosphere. It's a really nice, like, cherry on top of the cake kind of thing. It's like, fuck yeah.
I think the best bands that incorporate these orchestral elements are the ones that the orchestral elements are just another instrument. They're not like the attraction. I feel like the big
Flesh God Apocalypse or something like that, where it's like gigantic grand piano is like pushing that shit out there, where it could be like Overkill or too bombastic, where it's like drowns out the actual like meat and potatoes metal that's buried underneath it.
Yeah, like in Hearken the End, the song I was mentioning earlier, I thought like the orchestral elements like really add to like this somber quality that the song has.
Yes.
Like not only that song, but the entire record is really good at going from like really heavy to like really sad to the classic spiraling black metal riff, like, you know, the Falling from Heaven riff. Of course, the vocals, her vocals have never sounded better. Also highly reminiscent of Darkened Nocturne Slaughter Cult, Olnir. But that's a fantastic thing, in my opinion. I really, like I mentioned it earlier, but I really enjoy how visible the death metal influence is here. like I said, I mentioned DSI, but maybe even early Morbid Angel, you could say on here. Real big fan of this. Like a lot of like modern black metal kind of foregoes the heaviness, but this this USBM influence on the black metal sound is fan fucking tastic. Richard, you just saw Profanatica, so it's not quite as one note. It's nowhere near as one note as like a Profanatica concert.
And there's definitely not a video at the end of Paul Ledley jerking off coming either. So that's also nice.
That's on the OnlyFans, sir. You got to pay for that content. Not giving that shit away for free.
Yeah, I was just like the last 10 minutes were set. I went outside. I was like, okay, I'm gonna smoke, Sarah. Come back in. Come. Like, what the fuck, dude? I went from Blackwell show to like weird sexual avant-garde art house. Like, what the shit?
He was unsheathing the enchanted steel.
But back this older record, not Paul Ledby fucking coming back when he was 19, decided to film this. Okay, Paul, you do you, brother. Their previous EP, which we reviewed a couple years ago, I really enjoyed a lot, but I definitely saw room for improvement. I definitely feel this record builds upon that with more than meaty death metal. And yeah, definitely atmospheres and aggression, the sorrow, and it does it really well. Because of course, have an intro that's like every modern black metal band or metal band in general, useless intro. Bows Ablaze kicks off really good, very catchy, nice fucking keyboards. And Hark in the End, more of a longer track. They did the title track, which is more like a death metal cruncher. Though I will say the middle Lamentations and Offering don't really do much for me. They just kind of feel like
Lamentations only is another, I wouldn't say throwaway track, but it's only a minute long. It's just a bridge between Verses and Earth and an Offering.
Maybe that. Like it gives you a breathing room. I'll say that. Like, they cut one of them out. That would have been my...
And an Offering itself is also sub 3 minutes. Like,
yeah, it gives you a breathing room. But in my opinion, after that, though, my favorite track, Cast Into the Well of Remembrance, is probably my favorite song of the whole fucking record. Kicks off. It just...
For me, I feel like the record ends. I feel like it begins and ends super strongly. Like Bows Ablaze, I think, is a fantastic track, as you mentioned, as was the lead single, Hark in the End. But I think the last two, How It Ends with Enchanted Steel and Veil of Penitence, might be the two best tracks on the record. However, I also really like Vessel of Suffering as well. There's no weak track on here. And like I said...
I'm probably the opposite opinion. Like, it's still very, I feel kind of, it's not necessarily a bad note, but I feel it's a bit front loaded in my opinion. Like, there's still very good songs, but I like probably the cast, all those songs prior, actual songs. But still very good, though. They're not awful tracks, but.
And the good news is it's only 10 tracks long and 40 minutes, and three of those tracks are sub 2 minutes. So if you don't.
Seven legit black metal songs and three. Intro-ish songs.
So if you don't like it, don't worry. It'll go away pretty quickly, and it'll get back to the stuff that you do like. Again, I do feel like this record is going to make a lot of year end lists. I was really happy with how this record turned out. Also really happy to see that a lot of people have been enjoying it. So indeed, announcing herself more so to the heavy metal community at large is this Holder. And if her career is going to put out more and more records of this quality, then I am all here for it. I'm going to give Holder's Verses in Oath a 4 out of 5.
I'm going to give it a 3.8. So, and I'll have a review in a few weeks because they are playing next Sunday at the Middle East with Necro Fireworm and Devil Master. I'm very fucking excited.
Which is a fucking sick, it's a sick lineup. Honestly, yeah, it's matched only by this fucking One of Nine and Lamp of Murmur gig that you're going to get.
I'm going to that bitch, one, fucking April, I was, dude. I'm so for that shit,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, I wish I could be there.
All One Nine.
Amazing. Incredible.
Yeah. Yes.
So Holders versus an Oath, 7.8 from us here at the Fundamentalist Podcast. And now we've saved the best for last. They only made us wait a decade plus for it. But finally, deathcore's finest. And I say finest because they don't actually play deathcore anymore. Job for a Cowboy, back with Moon Healer. 8 tracks, less than 40 minutes long, infinitely re-listenable, and really taking a lot of its sonic cues where Sun Eater left off. You know, you think about where this band was coming from with albums like Demonocracy and Ruination. I'm struggling to think of one actual blast beat here on this new record, Moon Healer. Very much a mid-tempo and slowed down death metal record, yeah. Much more technically minded. Think bass runs and harmonies and the same old sick Job for a Cowboy vocals.
But not boring, though.
Know and love. No, not boring
not
at all.
Now, it's like not boring wankery, because there's plenty of bands that are technical nowadays, especially all those bands on the California label for thing, but whatever. It's all just like super clean digital. That's cool in a couple seconds, but if you can't write a memorable song around that or make that wankery interesting or like stick in your ear, it's fucking pointless.
So, yes, I would agree.
They succeed on that level with this record. And the bass is fucking phenomenal. I say, holy fuck. It's in front, pronounced the entire fucking way. And I wish more Death and Black was doing it. Put that bass up front so you hear that shit, dude.
Very classily executed. Yeah. There's no instrument that's fighting with the others for attention, and it all lays together really, really well here. Starting from the first track, Beyond the Chemical Doorway, with the title track letting you know that, yes, this band still does drugs. All the way through the Forever Rot, it never really lets up. Tracks like Etched in Oblivion and Grinding Wheels of Ophanim are fantastically heavy and shows that this band still has the chops. And then other tracks like Sorrow Filled Moon or The Agony Seeking Storm, but especially The Forever Rot, shows that this band wasn't just sitting on their ass for 10 years. They were evolving musically. This is not the Job for a Cowboy you grew up with, but this is the Job for a Cowboy I think I'd be okay with growing old with. Richard, give us your thoughts.
This ain't your dad's Job for a Cowboy.
It certainly is.
I'll be honest, there's a Sun Eater last with Demonocracy. I did enjoy this, but apparently this is definitely an extension of that. And I remember the Aggie Seep Store being kind of being like, it's all right. But this one I was kind of like just middling on. I'm gonna check it out. And this honestly probably favorite out of all three of the records we review it today, because again, the production's phenomenal. It's heavy enough that I wish there were more like the guttural, so like Johnny's like kind of high scream thing. That's bread and butter. That's just personal preference, really. Not holding against the record, but all the songs are memorable. There's plenty of shredding, but there's plenty of feel and like memorable sections as well. And bass is fucking fantastic. Holy fuck! Your last time I wrote a record that just bass pushed that up and just worked with everything. And the production's great. And let's say you're someone newer into tech death metal, so that's not like completely insane or overproduced as fuck. I think this would be a great entry point in that genre as a whole, really. Because you go to this, then maybe discover something like Obscura or Decrepit Birth, and you go deeper than that, like Cryptopsy, None So Vile, just lead you down the rabbit hole, so to speak.
Yeah, it's funny you said that this would be a great starting off point. I mean, I guess the most recent record for any band is usually a pretty good starting off point, assuming that it's of any quality. Obviously, you wouldn't tell somebody to start off with the latest Slayer by any stretch of the imagination.
Fuck no.
But it is interesting that this band has evolved so much, realizing that less is more sometimes. Speed is not necessarily always the name of the game, which is hard for some death metal bands to grapple with, I should say. But this band has, and I think they're all the better for it. I really can't speak highly enough at how restrained the album is at times. But we were discussing with Eson earlier, the album, while not necessarily always like blindingly heavy and making you fucking groove with your upper lip curling, it's never boring, and it's always heavy. Even in a pretty sense, it's always heavy, which is a skill. It's a fantastic skill to have, especially for this. For any technical death metal band, like another pitfall would be one over technicality, where it's like, okay, you can wank on the guitar, that's great, but you pretty much forget everything that was just wanked over. No such problems here. Very, very memorable. Fantastic melodies, fantastic stuff that's bubbling just under the surface. Like, you could listen to this record multiple times, and I highly recommend that you do, because you're going to find stuff in the layering the more and more that you listen to. I don't know. It's like the album's the gift that keeps on giving. Johnny Davey still sounds fantastic on vocals, and Tony Sondacondro, still great. His leads are still awesome on this record.
Yes.
Amazing phrasing from this guy. Amazing phrasing. I don't know. I can't speak highly enough of this.
Yeah. On top of that, this first record, 10 years, and at least seeing a lot of bands come back, and a lot of them, they'll play it safe. They'll say, oh, let's do so. Let's give the fans what they want. Look at you, At the Gates and Immortal, even though those are older bands. But these guys, it's like, fuck you, put the dick on the tail. This is our new shit, like or not. Goddamn, did they succeed, dude. Big fan. Like, every song is, I mean, it's so great. Throughout, it's really hard to pick a favorite song. Each song is great in its own right. There's so much layers and shit to discover. Like, this is a definitely, it's, it being 40 minutes, very easy to do two or three listens in one day.
I think either Beyond the Chemical Doorway or Grinding Wheels of Ophanim are my favorite, but I got to give a special shout out to the Forever Rot, just because it does sound so different from the rest of the record.
Forever Rot, Etched Oblivion, and probably the most sorrowful song, I think slow song, quote unquote, A Sorrow-Filled Moon. That one I like a lot as well.
Yeah, there's no bad track on here. Far from
not,
it.
Not at all.
Every track could be someone's favorite for different reasons. Just, this is a triumph, triumphant return after 10 years. Hopefully they don't make us wait 10 more years for another record if the next album is going to sound anything like this, because it's just killer. All killer, no filler. Got Welcome back, Job for a Cowboy. I really fucking hope that I see them live touring on this record, because it's like they've never been gone. Just fantastic. 4.5.
Wow. 4.2.
Nice. 8.7 for Moon Healer from Job for a Cowboy.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be on up there this year for sure.
Easily the highest rated album that we've done today by over a point, or just under a point. I think Holder got 7.8. So what did you guys think of the records that we talked about today, whether it was Versus an Oath from Holder, Isan's self-titled record, or Moon Healer from Job for a Cowboy? What did you think about the return of Slayer? Again, let us know at thefundamentalistpodcast@gmail.com or at thefundamentalistpodcast on Instagram or on Facebook. You can also hit us up on Spotify, and we'd love to read out your comments live on the very next episode. With that being said, thank you very much for tuning in. We'll be back next time with reviews for Lord Dying, Judas Priest, and Traveler. Richard, any final words you want to leave our beloved listeners with?
Stay safe with her in hell, Satan. That's all I've got.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Goodbye, my friends. We will speak with you next time.